Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Trust you had a great Mother's Day weekend, along with Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, so many different questions that we talked about last week related to the killing of Osama bin Laden. We talked about the narrative. We talked about all sorts of other things, the photographic controversy, absolutely. And one of the things that came out late in the week and really came out of a meeting that the president had with 9/11 victims' families, and specifically Deborah Burlingame, was he was greeting her, and she wanted to push the case that the Justice Department ought to end its investigation of the CIA interrogators, since the Bush administration had already done that investigation. And according to her, the president very coldly said, no, I'm not going to do that. So that issue came up during an interview on Fox News Sunday as Chris Wallace was talking with the former Vice President Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney, very clear about what he thinks about what ought to happen here.
I'm saying it is an outrage that we would go after the people who deserve the credit for keeping us safe for 7.5 years.
Cheney basically saying they should be decorated, not prosecuted. And Jim, obviously, it's a little bit of a mixed martini because of the fact that Obama won't apparently reverse course on this. But the fact that now we're getting a few big guns to once again focus on this and the outrage that it is good. Hopefully the president, who is trying to fancy himself as a big national security hawk over this week and in subsequent weeks since the killing of bin Laden, will see the light and at least for political reasons, if nothing else, go the right way on this.
As I've seen it, you know, this argument put in quite a few places around the internet and on Twitter, et cetera, in the minds of the Obama administration, apparently it is completely illegal to waterboard KSM to find out more information about al-Qaeda and their intentions and their likely plots, et cetera. But it's perfectly okay to shoot Osama bin Laden in the face. Now, I myself have, a not even molecules of sympathy for these guys, so I don't really care what they do. But there's a part of me that feels like, on the one hand, it's good that I think we're 2.5 years into the Obama administration and really nothing has come out of this investigation, as far as I know. Maybe there's some sort of sealed indictments floating around somewhere. But the question, as I was thinking about this in the morning jolt this morning, was how'd you like to be a prosecutor who has to go before a grand jury or eventually someday a full jury and prosecute some lifelong CIA employee who spent their whole career dedicated to protecting their country and prosecute them for the crime of torturing Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the mastermind of 9/11. Greg, I know you've always, I do my very best to get out of jury duty.
I was just thinking
like the Dennis Miller joke that, the only people who get to put you behind jail are the 12 people who were dumb enough to not get out of jury duty. So you can only imagine, what if, you only need one person on that jury to say, hey, wait a minute, it's flipping KSM. I don't care. Well, could I join in the waterboarding? Somebody who wouldn't find it to be tortured would find it to be a perfectly legitimate move in a life or death struggle against al-Qaeda. So there's a part of me that wonders that we have no idea what the state of these investigations is. I can't imagine that it's proceeding right along if we've heard really nothing over 2.5 years. But my guess is that Obama, if Obama were to come out and say, we've done the investigation and we don't have enough to prosecute anyone, that his lefty base, already iffy on shooting terrorists without reading them their rights, and the surge in Afghanistan and all these other extraordinary renditions, we can go down the list of all the expired Obama statements on on national security, that this would just be one more of them, that they're not going to get anybody frog walked in handcuffs, and that nobody at the CIA is going to end up paying the price for their terrible crime against Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. So I think it's good. I think it's very revealing that Barack Obama can't rethink this or can't say, in the grand scheme of things, these folks who, by the way, where I presume, if not following orders, but just were following what they, the legal guidance that they had gotten from their superiors, that they're not bad guys, that they don't deserve to have the whole the Eric Holder and the Department of Justice breathing down their neck trying to prosecute them.
Yeah, for the most part, I think, as you mentioned, most people honestly try to get out of jury duty. I think that's one I might actually enjoy being on just to make sure that these guys weren't prosecuted.
Greg, I smell some jury nullification coming off you.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind being part of that, but something tells me the prosecutors might dismiss people like you and me.
If the detainee is wet, you must acquit.
It works for me. On to number two now, and this dovetails a little bit, unfortunately, with our bad martini from Friday, which was the mixed economic report with about 244,000 jobs created in April, but the overall unemployment rate back up to 9.0% because more people trying to get back in the job market now, which could be interpreted as good, but still there are so many more who have yet to even take that step that it's a major challenge. And now this from NBC and MSNBC, of all people, no end in sight to foreclosure quagmire is their lead story on their website today. House prices still plummeting, more and more homeowners underwater, and a lot of folks are saying it's worse than it ever was, even in the midst of the crisis just a couple of years ago. So when you have Austin Goolsbee and all these people looking at the one number out of that jobs report on Friday, which wasn't a bad number in, given the comparison the last couple of years, but in the grand scheme of things, there's a whole lot more work to be doing when a lot of these key factors, including housing, are definitely going in exactly the wrong direction.
Greg, for me, the diagnosis is simple. People stop paying their mortgages because they're applying all that money towards their gasoline. I'm also going to share with you another observation that may seem like we're tying our first two martinis together, but I just got this sent to me by a reader. It's really just fascinating news. Allegedly, according to the Pakistani land records, Bin Laden spent $1 million on his compound, but this is before the Pakistani real estate bubble popped. You know there was a real estate bubble in Pakistan, right? So let's say it's now worth a quarter of that, and he put $200,000 down, so now he's got an $800,000 mortgage. The conclusion from all of this, Greg, is that looks like Osama bin Laden is going to be underwater for a long time. Insert rim shot here. Having to turn to the more grim topic of foreclosure crisis continuing, look, I mean, you know, a lot of people bought a lot more house than they could afford. And what's kind of fascinating is we've seen government effort after government effort to do this. But in the end, if people – if unemployment is high, if we're seeing inflation in food and these other, you know, basic staples of life, if gas prices are high, the diagnosis in the end is simple. Not enough money coming in, way too much money going out. And you drive around my neighborhood in Northern Virginia, we haven't been hit as bad as some other places, but you can still see the there are a lot of a lot of foreclosures out there. I understand Home and Garden Network is looking more and more desperate as time goes on. I think it says something about the administration that from the way they talk about this, Obama occasionally, you know, when you get modestly improved job numbers come out, makes it appear, you know, they speak as if the economic recovery is in full gear. I believe my Congressman Jim Moran, the regular Mensa applicant, recently declared, I guess it was last fall, that the economy had recovered. Period. It's done. Things are back to normal. Things are good. I guess Moran owns his house and isn't worried about paying a mortgage because the rest of us kind of see this thing. I got my property tax assessment and values certainly aren't jumping back up the way they were pre-bubble in 04, 05, 06. So no surprise to a lot of us, but I think it's just kind of a further indicator that this economic promise that Obama was running on and kind of, you know, the good times are going to come back, they aren't back. And I think this is a very ominous indicator for Obama in 2010. I would prefer Obama's political troubles weren't built on the back of people's homeowners' problems, but this is the state of things, and I hope a Republican nominee has a good, solid plan to argue that, you know, we can get back to a stronger real estate environment than a situation in which people's largest investments are not continuing to decline year after year.
Yeah, it's one of those situations. We saw it, you know, in the mini recession in the early 90s. We've seen it at other times, too. The people in Washington can tell the folks, you know, as much as they want to, that everything's getting better. But when they look at their own bottom line, they look at their neighbors, that's when they get their real sense of where things are. And despite what this White House is trying to say, it's just not there. You look at GDP, you look at the job numbers, you look at this. It's just not there yet. We want it to be better, but it's not there yet. So several months ago when we began this podcast, one of the earliest and most popular political villains here was then Florida Democratic Congressman Alan Grayson, who mercifully was defeated and defeated soundly in the midterm elections. And for whatever reason, Ed Schultz of MSNBC decided to blow the dust and mothballs off Alan Grayson and bring him back for analysis of the killing of Osama bin Laden. I'm not sure why he was that high on the pecking order for the guest list that day. But anyway, in a very sarcastic tone, Ed asked the former congressman whether or not the Bush administration, and Bush in particular, deserved any credit for the killing of Osama bin Laden. And here's what Grayson had to say.
I'd like to give him some credit for introducing America to $4 a gallon gasoline. I'd like to give him credit for, in the last 18 months of his administration, wiping out 20% of our national net worth, taking us from $62 trillion, the result of 200 years plus of work by people, all the way down to $50 trillion in just 18 months, So let's give credit where credit is due. He is the worst president of my lifetime.
I'm not going to be the first person to defend the Bush financial record, but did you sense any reference whatsoever to the actual question or issue at hand? I think the issue of interrogations, perhaps other policies the administration left in place that the Obama administration said they would reverse but didn't. You know, those would have been good issues. But Alan Grayson clearly living in his own world still.
You know, Greg, why is Ed Schultz having a potential replacement host on his guest? Doesn't he realize that's kind of like – I guess it was kind of like when Leno was on Carson, and you can kind of see him eyeing that chair rather enviously or avariciously. This is Alan Grayson. You know, he ran in last year comparing his opponent Dan Webster to the Taliban. You know, we shouldn't be surprised by anything he says anymore. It's kind of interesting that, you know, he's upset about Bush for ushering in the era of $4 a gallon gas. Hey, Alan, how's your guy fixing that? You know, how's things getting better? Because last time I checked, Bush isn't president. I realize with all the policy changes, you might think so. What with all the expired expiration dates and all the recent policy. Gitmo's still open, as we all know. But it is President Obama. And lo and behold, it's not just $4 a gallon gas. I was driving. There's a gas station that's right next to the Watergate Hotel in Washington, D.C., Greg. I don't get my gas there. Traditionally one of the most expensive gas station, if not in the entire D.C. area, one of them. And all of the prices, whether for regular, premium, and super premium, whatever it is, all of them are more than $5 a gallon, Greg. Mm. So I think lately that ludicrously overpriced one, it's just a prophecy. You know, whatever it is there, that's more or less what we're going to end up paying in a month or 2 months. So I can only imagine what things are going to look like in the peak of summer in July and August. But, it's one of those things where if Alan Grayson wants to go on MSNBC and talk about how terrible gas prices are, I guess we should welcome that. Right, Greg?
I think so, considering the fact that when Bush left office, they were $1.82. And those seem really, really good right now. Remember those were the prices like back in the first Gulf War, and we were all like infuriated that they were nearing $2 a gallon, and now we would beg for it. So thanks, Alan Grayson. Jim, have a great day.
Looking forward to it, Greg. See ya.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Karembas of Radio America. Join us tomorrow for the Tuesday edition of the 3 Martini Lunch.